To Wales now, in the UK, where the NATO summit is underway. NATO is expected to okay the use of a rapid reaction force in Eastern Europe that would allow 4,000 troops to be deployed within 48 hours. It's meant to send a message to Vladimir Putin, and that message is unequivocally, back off. Steve Krasner is a former director of policy and planning at the State Department. He's now an international relations professor at Stanford, and he's been speaking in Wales this week. He says that NATO should have a get tough policy with Russia, but avoid false promises to non-member states like Ukraine.
The real danger that we have here is that our ability to make clear, unambiguous commitments to the Ukraine, our ability to do that is quite low. And I think that Putin is going to keep pushing, that he's made strong commitments that he can't back down because it would undermine his own domestic base of support. I don't think we can assume that it's a given that he won't try to unravel, not through invasion, but through some kinds of subversion, the kinds of things that we've seen in the eastern Ukraine, not Crimea, that he won't try to do the same things in the Baltic unless we make it absolutely unambiguously clear that we are committed to the Baltic states.
And is that the idea behind this 4,000-troop rapid reaction force, if you want to call it that, that NATO is contemplating at the meeting this week? Doesn't sound like they're going to be pushing to Moscow or anything like that, but it's a message sent to Putin in that way?
It's a message sent, but I think we ought to be sending a clearer message. We ought to be stationing troops in the Baltic states, even if we only do that temporarily.
Is that the case for all of the Baltic states? I've been in Lithuania. They're not fond of Russians at all there anymore. Estonia, Latvia might be a different story.
No, I think the Estonians are very, very antagonistic towards the Russians. And I don't think the Latvians are so fond of them either. But the problem is, if Putin sees an opportunity to engage in various kinds of subversive activity, it would be better for him if he has support from the Russian population in Latvia and Estonia. They have substantial Russian-speaking populations. But even if he doesn't have that support, he might push. And it would be a huge victory for him to unravel NATO, to destabilize Estonia, Latvia, or Lithuania. And that's something which, if we act decisively, we can be sure to avoid.
Well, we're at a moment now in eastern Ukraine, of course, where Russia has been accused of actively participating in that war, firing artillery, tanks crossing the border, basically been proven at this point. If NATO is not going to intervene militarily in Ukraine, and it appears that NATO won't, what about calls here domestically in the United States to send more lethal aid, to send weapons, training to the Ukrainians so that they can put up more of a fight? How do we fit that puzzle piece into the NATO context here when all these discussions are going to be going on in Wales?
I think we should make it absolutely clear that this is not part of a NATO context, that the Ukraine is not a member state of NATO. That's not to say that we shouldn't send them military assistance, training, and lethal weapons, but they have to do the fighting. The obligations that we have are to NATO members. And that's why I think it would have been smarter this week not to announce this 4,000 troop force. It's not exactly clear what it could do, but to actually do something more emphatic for the Baltic states.
And before we let you go, Steve Krasner, what do you think Vladimir Putin is expecting at the end of this meeting this week? What do you think is in his mind that he's going to say?
I think he's not expecting much of a response from the West with regard to Ukraine. He might be a little more anxious about the Baltic states and how decisively we would act there, but we haven't given any indication that we're going to act more decisively. So I think if we want to catch his attention, it would be good to put NATO tripwire forces on the Russian border in Latvia and Estonia. That would catch his attention.
A get-tough policy, not for the Ukraine because they're not a member of NATO, but for NATO members Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, the Baltics.
Exactly.
Steve Krasner is international relations professor at Stanford and former director of policy and planning at the State Department. Professor, thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, a year ago, the post-Cold War purpose of NATO was kind of unclear. Europe had no obvious threat. Combat operations were wrapping up in Afghanistan, and Washington was not eager to get deeper into the Middle East. And the warning that Robert Gates gave as he left the job as defense secretary in 2011 seemed on its way to becoming true.
Looking ahead, to avoid the very real possibility of collective military irrelevance, member nations must examine new approaches to boosting combat capabilities.
Now, at that time, NATO may have been hovering on the brink of collective military irrelevance, as Robert Gates said. But Russia's re-election of Vladimir Putin and its invasion of Ukraine has given new life and maybe new military opportunities to this alliance, which is meeting as we speak in Wales. And it's a great time to talk to John Cassidy, staff writer of The New Yorker, who joins me now. Hi, John.
Hi, Todd.
Well, we just heard from Robert Gates there in the cut, but just a minute ago, we heard from Steve Krasner from Stanford saying NATO should put troops in the Baltics to send a back-off message to Vladimir Putin. Is that in the cards this week?
I don't think they'll go that far. The plan seems to be to pre-position some assets, I guess some tanks and other weapons, in the Baltic states and set up a rapid reaction force that could move in quickly to use those assets, 24, 48 hours even, perhaps that quickly. NATO did make an agreement with Russia back in the 90s that they wouldn't station troops in the Baltic states. So to break with that would be a big step, and I don't think they'll go that far this week.
Well, Ukraine's not a NATO partner, of course, but as long as we're going back on agreements, a Russian invasion of that country doesn't seem to be in the spirit of cooperation.
That's true, and it's also true, as you said in the introduction, that Russia's invasion has given NATO a new purpose. But I do think it would be going further than the U.S. seems willing to do, and certainly the other partners, to actually move a lot of troops into Eastern Europe. You know, Ukraine was always seen as within the sort of Soviet sphere of influence rather than the Baltic states, which always had a more sort of westerly inclination. So I think the message to Putin that the NATO wants to give is maybe this far, but no further.
So it's amazing that even after the Cold War, the old spheres of influence in neighborhoods, the satellite theory, is still sort of in effect. And in a way, Russia maybe doesn't have a right to eastern Ukraine, but we're not going to stop them. But in the Baltics, John Cassidy, this rapid reaction force, 4,000 troops strong that you described, it seems like a chess piece, a series of pawns right now. What are the chances that they'll actually change Putin's calculations?
Since the leak came out that this is what NATO is going to do, Putin does seem to have changed course a bit. He's put forward a peace plan, a 7-point peace plan in the Ukraine. Now, some people think it's not a genuine move. But I think Putin's whole thing ever since he's elected has been to sort of halt the advance of NATO and the eastward advance of NATO. And it's been very counterproductive what he's done in the Ukraine in that sense. I mean, it's given, as Gates said, it looked like NATO might be collapsing a couple of years ago, because the entire purpose of the alliance was basically, the old saying was, keep the Russians out, the Germans down, and the Americans in. Well, once the Russians were out and didn't seem to be any threat, then the sort of underlying rationale for NATO had been removed. But now Russia's back, or seems to be threatening Eastern Europe. You know, NATO's, rather than finding a new role, it's found its old role. And it's much more comfortable in that role than it is in, going to Afghanistan or Iraq or other parts of the world.
Not comfortable at all in going to Iraq. But John Cassidy, there's going to be a lot of rhetoric this week in Wales about ISIS in Iraq and Syria. There has to be. We just heard earlier in the show that Western troops on the ground are not really going to be an option to confront ISIS. Does NATO really have a role that it can offer this week in Wales when it comes to ISIS, or is it going to be strictly a rhetorical exercise?
That's a very good question. I'd be surprised if NATO makes any commitment to get involved in the air campaign against ISIS this week. A lot of the European countries, They're okay with standing up to Russia, because the Russia does seem to be threatening them, but they've always been very wary about getting drawn into the Middle East. I think it would take a UN resolution of sorts, the same thing we got in Libya, before NATO would get involved, and I think we're a ways from that.
And of course, the UN General Assembly is coming up in just the next few days, so maybe eyes toward New York instead of Wales to see if the West confronts ISIS. John Cassidy with The New Yorker, thank you so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.